Ephesians chapter 6. Let's hit it running this morning best we can. We begun this last week as Brother Tim was out of town, and we didn't get very far. We made it to verse number 1, so we got some ground to cover, and I don't know if we'll get done with the children today. Now, Miss Caroline, she obviously thinks Mark and Candy need some help, because we finished up last week saying we'll deal with the parents next week, and she give a big old. So I don't know what that's all about, but we'll try, Caroline. Alrighty. Ephesians 6. Look with me in verse 1. Let's read our verses again this morning. The Bible said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And this morning, we want to continue our thought just on the simple thought, the child-parent relationship. When we come to these verses, Paul is dealing with that relationship. In fact, in the old context, even from the preceding chapter, you'll find that Paul's going to deal with saved folk, the believer's life, in relationship to their earthly relationships in this realm. He deals with the husband-wife relationship in the end of chapter 5. He deals with the child-parent relationship in the verses we've read. And then he deals with the believer's, if you will, servant-master relationship, employee-employer relationship. And it does matter, let me say this morning, it does matter that our relationships in this world are right. God has structured them in such a way and given you and I the structure that is necessary for things to run smooth. And when a wife and a husband fulfill their responsibility, it makes for a good marriage. When a child and a parent begin to understand and set their relationship up the way God said to set it up, it runs smooth, and the same thing at work. There'd be no need, and I don't know if we got any union people at Calvary or not. I know we did over in my first church, and I'm not a union man. There wouldn't be no need for no union. Wouldn't nobody have to be a part of a union if they just get back to being what the Bible says to be. And so we're dealing with the child-parent relationship. Let me give my opening remarks again today. And the first thing we want to say is, according to Psalm 127:3, children are an heritage of the Lord. Every parent this morning needs to understand that children are the gift of God. They're the heritage of the Lord, that God gives us children to raise them to the honor and the glory of God, and to instill a love in their heart for the Lord. Children are a responsibility from the Lord. When we consider Proverbs 22:6, here is the responsibility of parents to children. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so we've got a responsibility to train them up in the way, the old time way, the narrow way, is the way that God intends for us to raise them up. That's a responsibility upon parents. And then we noted this, children are a treasure from the Lord. Amen. What a treasure, what a blessed thought to have children given to us in these days. Now, they're not trash, they're treasure. I hear some parents speaking their children, and they would act as if, my friend, the way they speak, now they wouldn't admit this, but the way they talk about their children, hey man, you would think their children was trash, but my friend, they're not trash, they're treasure. And let me say this, if you talk about your children like they're trash, that's more evidence of your life than it is on theirs. Amen, amen. Well, I said last week, I'll probably have everybody mad at me before I get done through 4 verses of Ephesians 6. All right, notice this. Here's my thought I want to give you. is that not even Christian homes, even in this child-parent relationship, are exempt from the pressures and troubles of life. You live in a troubled world. Your home functions in a troubled world. You breathe God's air and live on God's earth. You're going to have times where there's pressure and stress and strain, and things are not going to run smooth. But that's why God gave us the Bible, to navigate through the pressure and through the trouble and through the issues that we face. You don't have to do it alone. You can't keep it from coming, but you can, amen, through the Word of God, find yourself navigating through it the way that God would have you to go. Now, here's another preliminary mark we want to make. Amen, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. Children need to understand this morning. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. And parents need to understand there is no such thing as a perfect child. Amen. Now, when we're teaching this today, we're talking about being a biblical parent. We're talking about children being scriptural in their child-parent relationship. We're not teaching perfection this morning. There is no such thing. Amen. Children can't be perfect because mom and daddy ain't perfect. And parents can't be perfect because we got a bunch of heathen youngins we're trying to raise. The fact of the matter is, we're not perfect. Now, the devil, and I'll say more about this in a moment, what the devil wants to do is get children looking at the parents' imperfection and drawing a wedge between that child-parent relationship. And then the devil, likewise, wants to get the parents looking at the imperfections of the children and, again, driving a wedge between them. You've got to understand, there is no such thing as a perfect parent, and there is no such thing as a perfect child. And our passage of Scripture, we're dealing with three primary things, and we made it through the first part of the second one. Let me say, first of all, we studied the ranks in the relationship. You have children in verse number one. Children, obey your parents. Honor thy father. We could say in verse number two, children, honor thy father and mother. And so you've got children who are in the subordinate rank, and you have parents who are in the authoritative rank. The parents are to govern and have authority over the children. Children have no authority over parents. And I say it again. Amen. Children are in the subordinate role. Parents are in the authoritative role. And children have no right to tell mom and dad what they're going to do or what the child is or is not going to do. Children are to submit to the authority of mom and dad. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The whole passage of Ephesians 5 down through these opening verses of chapter 6 is dealing with submission and authority. I know it ain't popular in our day. You go teaching Ephesians 5 and you got men haters that rise up and say, well, you're just against women. I'm not against women, but I'm for the Bible. And my friend, God has a rank in the relationships that we have. And my friend, when you study the first four verses of Ephesians 6, children, look up here, children are the subordinate in the rank. You are to honor and obey your mom and dad. Mom and dad, dad and mom, father and mother is the authority in the home. Now, our generation's got that all messed up. I illustrated it last week, amen, about one out of five trips to Walmart, amen, about four out of five trips to Walmart, you're going to see some youngin' or hear some youngin' all the way across the, amen, the store, a whining and a screaming because, amen, they wanted Lucky Charms and mama put Cheerios in the cart. What is that? That is evidence that the ranks have been flipped around. And my friend, with shame on a parent, shame on a father, and shame on a mother to let their children tell them what to do. You're not right biblically. Let your children tell you what to do. The rank in the relationship is that children are the subordinate rank and parents are the authoritative rank. Amen. That simply means parents are in charge and children are not. You're in charge of nothing. Amen. You don't pay, all you youngins, look here. You don't pay nothing. You don't pay the house payment. You don't pay the electric bill. You don't pay the car payment. You don't pay the credit card bill. You didn't buy the furniture and the mattress you sleep on. Most of you didn't buy the clothes you're wearing this morning. And so you're not in charge. Mom and Daddy is. Can I get a witness right there? The ranks in the relationship, I'm telling you right now, until my children start paying their own bills, buy their own mattress, pay their own house payment, amen, hell will sell snow cones before they tell me what to do. Amen. The ranks in the relationship, are we all okay? Children are the subordinate and parents are the authority. Number two, the responsibilities in this relationship. We're dealing with the responsibilities of children. Sister Caroline, I'm sorry, but we may not get to your mom and daddy, all right? The responsibilities of children. What does he say in verse number one? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. A first responsibility in the child-parent relationship for the children, Brother Dean, is that they obey their parents. You say, what does that mean? That means you do what mom and daddy tells you to do. And you don't do anything mom and daddy tells you not to do. Amen and amen. Obey means to hear under. It means to listen attentively. It means to, while it comes in this ear, let it abide on the inside of your brain before it goes out the other side. Listen attentively. Hang on to every word that your father and your mother gives you. Listen attentively. Can I give you some other verses right here? I cut this out last week, but I'm feeling real good, and I'm trying not to preach this morning. I'm trying to teach, but go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1, this matter of obeying. If you're going to obey, you've got to listen. You've got to listen, and not just listen, you've got to listen attentively. In Proverbs chapter number 1, in verse number 8, Solomon said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Solomon said, son, you need to listen. You need to listen. I can't tell you how many times growing up that my daddy was trying to tell me something and give me some instruction. And while he was telling me what to do, Gerald, my mind was off somewhere else. My eye was on the basketball and the basketball goal. And daddy's saying, hey, boy, listen to what I'm telling you. If you don't listen, you're not going to get it, and then you're going to get in trouble. And that's what Solomon is saying. Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Notice with me in Proverbs 4. Look over a page or two. Verse number 1. Hear ye children. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Again, Solomon said, children, Lucas, what is your responsibility? Your responsibility is to hear, to listen attentively. If you're going to obey, obedience begins by listening attentively. If you look over in Proverbs chapter number 6, Proverbs chapter 6, I think it's verse number 20, the Bible said, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The fact of the matter is, you're to be listening. You're to be listening attentively, so much so that Solomon said, when your father and your mother lays down the law and tells you how to live, you're to let it enter into your ears, into your mind, and then you're to bind them things around your heart. It literally deals with a lead. Amen. Some of you have horses. A lead is something you attach, amen, to a horse's bridle to lead that horse where you want it to go. It would be the same idea with with a dog on a leash, that Solomon is saying, let the law, let the instruction of your father and mother, listen to it, be attentive to it, bind it about your heart, and let it lead you in the path that you're to go. Children's responsibility is to obey, and obedience involves listening attentively. It not only means to hear under or to listen attentively, but it means to heed or conform to an authority or command. It's not your job, Hunter, as a child in the child-parent relationship, you'll never be right with God not conforming to what Brother Rob and Sister Julie command you to do. Amen. You're to conform to that. You say, but I don't like what they say. Well, listen, according to the Word of God, Paul didn't say obey it if you like it. He said obey it. Amen. He didn't say if it feels good and you it's something that you desire to do, then obey it. No, he said you conform to what they're telling you until such a time you get old enough to get out on your own, then you can do your own thing. But as long as you're under mom and daddy's roof, I don't care if you're 47 years old, it's your job to conform to what your father says. Hallelujah. Ain't we having a time? Children are to obey. Now, Romans 1:28, one of the evidences of somebody that God has turned over to reprobate mind, the same crowd that has denied the Creator and worshiped creation, the same crowd that has turned to sodomy and wicked perversions and adultery and lascivious living and idolatry, Paul labels in there. We looked at it last week. Y'all are turning there. You can find it yourself. But you'll find right smack dab in the middle of all of it, he said they're disobedient to parents. You're no better, and this is strong, but you're no better than an adulterer if you won't listen and obey what your parents say. Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. You say, boy, that's strong, preacher. I didn't say it. It's in Romans 1, that crowd we blow out for effeminate living and lesbian living and sodomy living and adulterous living and idolatrous living and lascivious living. Paul said the same crowd's got a problem with obeying their parents. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and in verse number 1, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he begins to go into the list of things. Right before unholy, he said they'll be disobedient to parents. And my friend, listen, in the last days, there's going to be evidence in the last days when parents and children, the child-parent relationship gets flipped around and children no longer obey what father and mother has to say. Amen. Somebody says, well, I've just got to obey my parents in things pertaining to the Word of God. And they use this, and it's a doctrine out of hell. Amen. It's a doctrine out of hell. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, I only got to obey my parents so long as what I don't want to do isn't sin. That is not what that verse is saying. That verse in the Lord means you're in the Lord. You're a saved young and child. You're to obey your parents as you would the Lord. In Colossians chapter number 3 and in verse number 20, here's what Paul said, and it's the parallel verse to Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in all things. In all things. Not just church things. Not in just a dress code, but in all things. If mom and daddy say go to bed at 8:32, that means you don't go to bed at 8:33. If they say take the trash out now, that don't mean take it out tomorrow. Obey them in all things. In all things. Amen. Listen, if they say buzz your head, amen. If they say go get a buzz cut, amen, you go get a buzz cut. In all things. In all things. You say, but I don't like it. Well, the day's coming, you'll be old enough, you can pay the bill and you can buy your own haircut. But until then, Paul said, children, obey your parents in all things. Why? Because he said this is right. It just means that it's something morally good. And there's a good moral quality, in fact. And we ended here last week. I'm sorry I'm getting so bogged down, but I'm feeling good about it this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word right not only means that it's good, it's well-pleasing, Lord. In fact, back, Colossians 3:20, he said, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord." It pleases God. The word "right" there also is a word that we derive good character from. And what Paul is saying is that you display good character when you obey your parents in the Lord. The evidence, my friend, where there is disobedience, what the real problem is, there's a lack of good character. Children with good character obey mom and dad. If they got good character, they've got no problem listening attentively and conforming to the authority. You don't have to browbeat them. If they've got good character, they'll obey mom and dad. Let me say this. If you got a child that will not obey, I'd be real cautious about trusting them with anything. I'm so sick. 2014, we got so many ideas that are contrary to the Word of God. This, well, I got to trust my children. You ain't got to trust them. Amen. In fact, I don't think you ought to trust them. I don't think you ought to trust them. I do not think you ought to trust them. If they can't make their bed, clean their room, take the trash out when you tell them to, amen, if they can't obey you, amen, then I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't trust them with a cell phone. I wouldn't trust them on Facebook. I wouldn't trust them on the internet. I wouldn't trust them going out on a date. I wouldn't trust them having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If they ain't got the character to obey in the minutest of things, they don't have the character to be trusted, amen, with anything. Well, you know, we got to trust them or we're going to lose them. No, if they ain't got character, you're going to lose them. Amen. If they ain't got character, amen, the minute you turn around, they're going to be necking in some backseat or under bleachers somewhere, holding hands and fornicating. Why? Because they got no character. Amen. Obey. Obey. Well, I just want mom and dad to trust me. Well, have some character and obey and earn their trust. Whoa, hallelujah. That's just the first one. Number two, what's your second responsibility, Sam? Children, obey. And then, verse 2, honor thy father and mother. You better hang on. It's about ready to get tough. It ain't even got tough yet. Honor thy father and thy mother. The word obey deals with my action, but the word honor deals with my attitude. It deals with my, amen, obedience deals with my actions toward my parents in conforming to their authority, but the word honor deals with my attitude toward them. Now, the day came when I got old enough and God let me, and my parents, by the way, raised me to move out. They didn't raise me to stay home. They raised me to come to an age where I could function on my own as an adult. That day came. And that obligation, that responsibility to obey, ceased the day that I moved out. But the matter of honor never ends. We do not believe in, and let me say this, I alluded to it last week, we do not believe in patriarchal authority that says I am to govern my children's life even after they grow older, leave the house, have their own children. My authority in commanding them to obey ends the day that God lets them leave the home. When they leave the home in the will of God and establish their own family, then, my friend, it's them and the Lord. But their responsibility to honor father and mother never ends. Amen. The word honor means to fix a high value upon. JJ, your responsibility as a child with Sister Marie is to put a high value on your mother. Ben, it's to think, man, I wouldn't take $10 million for my mother. There's no amount of money in the world that I would give in exchange for my father and my mother. That is honor. When you place a high value upon them, where you say, I need them more than I need a big job. I need them more than I need any other relationship in my life. I need to honor. I need to give a high, fix a high value upon my parents. Amen. The word honor also means to praise. Amen. To praise. Amen. Now, listen. Young people get older and they find a job and they go out and they work and they work and they work and then they buy their automobile. What do? They prize that automobile. If they got any kind of character, they'll take care of it. And they'll prize that thing. Listen, what Paul is saying, you need to prize your mom and daddy. You need to prize, Caroline, you need to prize your mom and daddy. It needs to be, you know, you win a trophy, and what do? You set it up on the shelf, you keep it dusted, you want everybody when they come in the room, amen, to be drawn to that prize that you've won. That's the way it ought to be with your mom and daddy. Now, something you prize, you don't run it down. Something you honor, you don't destroy it. You don't slam it down on the ground. You don't bust it in pieces. If you praise your mom and daddy, they'll never be anything. If you're fulfilling your command to honor your father and your mother, you'll never run them down. Hallelujah. You say, but you don't know the flaws my daddy has. You don't know the flaws that my mama has. I've done told you there's no such thing as a perfect parent. And your mom and daddy, Lucas, is going to let you down. They are going to fail you. They're not always going to be what they ought to be to you and for you. And they're not always going to understand. But you're to always honor them in everything. That there are things today. Now listen, I'm out from under the roof of my father. I'm not under that authority to obey him. Today there are things that me and my father adamantly disagree on. But I don't take those disagreements and shove them in his face. And I'm 35, been married for 16 years. Almost 16 years and have 6 children of my own. And if my dad walked in this room today, I would not, because I honor him, even though we disagree, I would not be a hardship on my father. Why? Because that's the Bible command to honor. You don't take those disagreements and shove them in their face and have a bad attitude and let a source of contention come between you. Listen to me, any child that will disrespect their father and or their mother is not right with God. I don't care if they're 82, if they will dishonor their father and their mother, they are crossed up with Ephesians 6:2 and Exodus 20 and verse 12. Till my daddy dies, till my mama dies, I'm to prize them and give esteem and honor to them and value them. No, and listen, my parents have screwed up and messed up bigger than anybody in this building has. You talk about in an earthly realm, in a carnal realm, people that don't deserve honor, they don't deserve honor. Am I telling it right? God knows, and I'm not trying to run them down. I'm being honest with you. They don't deserve honor, and yet I still give them honor because the Bible tells me that's my responsibility. Amen. Ain't we having a time? Isaac, I don't care what your daddy does. It'll always be the will of God that you give him honor. You watch, you youngins watch these young people. If there's a young girl or a young man in the youth group coming up and all they do is run down mom and daddy, you better mark them, stay away from them. They are not right with God. Woo, hallelujah. It means simply to revere. Let me say this. And I've had these discussions with my own children. I'm raising them in a certain standard. I'm trying to raise them in a certain way that I believe is the right way to go. Now, I do understand the day may come they may junk some of the stuff I've tried to teach them. They may do it, Brother Rob. They may do it. And they'll be accountable to God for it. But I'm going to tell you what, if my daughters junk the dress standards that I've raised them to have, and they try showing up at my house with their britches on, it ain't happening. Somebody's going to get the cane raised on them. Are you listening? I done told set my daughters down and say, listen, I hope you live in every standard I've raised you to have, because I believe it's biblical, I believe it's right, but if you turn your back on it and you choose to live a different way, please honor your father and your mother and respect when you come around how we've raised you to be. A child who grows up and is so disrespectful to come around a father and a mother that has raised him in a certain way and to flaunt their rebellion and flaunt their choice to live a different way. I'm about ready to preach. That is a devil child. I do not care how much you love them, how much you care for them. I'm not saying don't love them. I'm just being honest with you. That is a child filled with a spirit of rebellion. Amen. Can I brag on JJ for a minute? This is what I'm talking about. Now, JJ don't have the standards that I wish he had. Is that true to say? I'm not trying to embarrass him in any way. JJ showed up at my house several weeks ago, and he was wearing shorts. I don't wear shorts. My boys don't wear shorts. At the house, in the community, we're going to Florida this week, and I won't have the first pair of shorts on. That's just how we live. JJ don't have that standard, and that's okay. I'm going to preach to him, and I'm going to love him, and I'm going to try to grow him, and I pray the day comes he'll get it nailed down. JJ showed up at my house to help me with something, and he didn't have time to change before he got there, but Jerry... And he got out of his car, had shorts on. First thing he did was went in and put his long pants on. That is commendable. That's a young man that may not have it all nailed down, but you know what he does have nailed down? Honor. Honor. And a youngin' who won't... I'm talking about I ain't even his daddy. Are you listening? I ain't even his daddy, and he still gave honor. Shame on a son or a daughter that would grow up and walk around mom and dad and come into their house that they was raised in a certain way and flaunt their rebellion right in the face of mom and dad. Brother Tim, I might be here 6 more weeks. Children's responsibilities to honor. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. You say, well, that's just real radical. Well, you better believe it's radical. Exodus 20 in the giving of what we know, the Ten Commandments. Brother Tony, Moses said to the children of Israel, God said that children ought to honor their father and their mother. Amen. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Well, I got 10:19 on my cell phone. I do got a few more minutes. Amen. You ain't done yet. The responsibility of children. Let me begin this on the responsibilities of parents. Y'all can breathe now. Can I get it, Caroline? Yeah, there you go. Responsibility of children. Obey and honor. The responsibility of parents. Now, we could study the Word of God and probably come up with a rather lengthy list. I noticed 3 things in my study and restudy of Ephesians 6 that I want to give you, and I'll probably just hit the first one, and it'll be more than we can handle. Amen. Children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother. We have here, my friend, in the child-parent relationship, not only responsibilities for children, but with the responsibilities for children come responsibilities for parents. There's a generation coming on that want their children to obey and honor, but parents don't want to fulfill their responsibility. Shame on us parents that would demand more out of our children, amen, and use the Word of God to try to force them into something, and then we wouldn't do it either. Let me give you the first one. What is the responsibility of parents? Number one, write this down, Brother Will. Number one, parents are to be like-minded. Watch how verse 1 reads. Children, obey your, not parent, parents. Parents means, my friend, they're working together. Means there is like-mindedness. Verse 2 said, honor thy father and thy mother. In other words, they're moving together. They're working together. They're like-minded. My friend, in this child-parent relationship, the father and mother, your first responsibility, it really has nothing to even do with your children as much as it does you together. It's a shame. It's a shame that in most homes, father and mother are not on the same page. And then they throw their hands up, wonder why there's so much division, why they're not happy at home, why their children act like devils and act like heathens and throw off everything. Listen, you got to be like-minded. It's working together. If daddy says no, then mama says no. There have been more children raised to be twofold, the more child of hell, because daddy laid down a law. And when daddy got gone, mama said, well, it's okay, daddy ain't around. That woman, you listen to me, that woman's filled with the devil. I'm glad when I'm gone from the house, when I've said this is what I want done, this is how I want the family to be, this is the music we're going to listen to, this is the way we're going to dress, I ain't got to worry if I'm gone for 7 days. Amen. There's a like-mindedness that mama's going to enforce every standard daddy laid down. That don't mean my wife can't come to me and express different things that she has concerns about, but when daddy says enough is enough, then enough is enough. You say you're making the man out to be the leader. That's exactly what I'm doing. Amen. You say, why, preacher? Because it's in your text. Children, obey your parents together. Honor thy father and thy mother. And then when you come down to verse 4, it is laid on the fathers. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. He's going to answer to God for that home. He is in a sense the priesthood of the home. And if he's right or if he's wrong, he'll give an account to God for that. Whoa, hallelujah. What's this? Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. Can I just park here for a minute? This idea, well, you know, my husband ain't this or my wife ain't that. Listen, you got to find a way to work through that. You got to find a way to work through that. You can't have division. Division equals discord, and discord equals destruction. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You can't have a divided home and expect that home to produce anything but destruction. Amen. Come on now, you kids are being quiet. I'm trying to help you. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, they're not enthused, but they're in it. Parents are to be like-minded. Parents are to be like-minded. You can't have daddy trying to raise them one way and mama trying to raise them another. Watch this now. Children pick up on that. My youngins, God bless them, I love them, but they're heathens as much as your youngins are. And if they even smell the hint of division, if they even smell the hint of it, they'll start playing one against the other. If they even just get us, all of a sudden they're on daddy. Daddy, can I do this? Well, they know good and well mama done said no. We've got a rule at our house. If mama said no, if you come and even think about asking daddy, daddy's going to beat the devil out of you. And if you've come to daddy and daddy said no, and you even think about going to mama, mama's going to beat the devil out of you. Do you understand division and discord is never the will of God? It is the will of God for the parents to be like-minded, to work together in harmony and in unity and in oneness and in accord. If you do not, I promise you, you're going to raise some reprobates that know nothing about the power of God. Like-minded. Am I making sense? Honor thy father and thy mother. Parents working together. Amen. You say, I just don't like the way my husband does this or that. Well, get over it. He's going to answer to God. But Gerald, if I'm not right with God, I don't answer to my wife. I answer to the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm doing a good job of making everybody mad now, ain't I? I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, we're in a day, and this idea, well, you know, this ain't right and that ain't right. You better go study Abraham and Sarah's life. Can you imagine being married to Abraham? I know he's the father of the faith, a righteous man, justified the Lord. Can you imagine being married to him, trying to raise children with Abraham? You talk about unstable. By the time you get your stakes drug down, he said, hey, pick them up, we're moving on. This ain't home yet. Always wandering around down in Egypt some days, and he says, I'm afraid for my life, let's just tell a big old lie right here. And then he's back in Canaan and back in Egypt, and then he comes in one day and says, hey, Sarah, I've got a good idea. I'm going to take our boy up to Mount Moriah and I'm going to kill him. One thing you'll never find in Genesis 22 where Sarah ever bucked him, ever said, no, we're not doing that. You know why? They were like-minded and they raised an Isaac. They raised the beloved of the Lord, because even in spite of Abraham's ups and downs and ins and outs and crazy ideas, they worked together. Like-minded. I ain't getting off that. We're going to pick up on there next Sunday. Like-minded. If you ain't like-minded, you're going to have chaos on your hands. Oh, Sarah said, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord. Everywhere she went, yes, sir, Lord. And that don't mean the husband's, my friend, is to thumb his wife and to squash her and to stomp her. And that's repeated again back over there in the New Testament, by the way. And God honored her. In fact, God uses her life as an illustration for a woman who has a husband that's not right with God, and just honoring the Lord and living right and submitting herself. And it brings harmony and it brings unity when that wife just humbles down and is like-minded with the God-given headship of the husband, father, man in the household. Like-minded. Amen. Like-minded. Everybody okay? I'll pick up here next week. It's 10:30. I got to stop. We got visitors coming in and y'all coming in on the blood and the guts. Amen. I know this. As goes your home, so goes this church. In my first church, there was some young people, and I'm ending on this. There was some young people. There's one young man in particular, good young boy. Brother Gerald, I had such a burden to see him do something for God. And this young man began having issues, and I brought him in the office. And we was talking and loving on him and just trying to help him. And Derek looked at me. He said, Preacher, he said, I know you're trying to help me, and I appreciate it. He said, what you don't know is mom and daddy always fuss and fight in the house. Mama's always cussing daddy. Daddy's always cussing mama. They're punching holes in the wall. He said, Preacher, you don't even know this. He said, we've got to call the law out. We've got to call the sheriffs out to our house to get mom and daddy calmed down. They're so vicious with each other. Sitting in a church Independent Fundamental King James Bible Preaching Church, and that stuff going on at home, wondering why, listen to me, wondering why their oldest son turned out to be a professing, practicing sodomite. Wondering why that their other son is so unstable, can't hold down a job, got no confidence in life. Wondering why, saying, well, we brought him up in church. As goes your home, so goes the church. Mom and Dad, we can't afford to be divided. We can't afford to let division creep in, because the devil takes that division and brings destruction of the heritage and responsibility and treasure we have in our children. Father, I love you this morning. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my wife, the blessing, and Lord, Lord, we know that, Lord, my home would not be what it is were it not for her and her hard labor and the time she spends with the children and managing the home. And Father, Lord, we're thankful for her. I'm thankful for my children and the blessing they are. And Lord, as they get older, it's more of a blessing, Lord, watching them, Lord, develop and grow and love one another and love God and love old-time religion. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we engage with them, Lord, in years to come. Help me to live what we're teaching. Help us, Lord, to stay firm in these things. In the areas, Lord, where we've let up, help me, Lord, to bind them back down. And, Lord, just to be everything that I'm to be as a father. And Lord, we'll bless you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, next week we'll pick up on the parents. That sound good?